You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
In the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Yes, guards welcome in.
Can guards stop you? I mean, tackles are a little bit more athletic, I think is the fair word. Can a guard or an interior guy stop you?
I just feel like it's, for us, we feel like it's a disadvantage. So we'll work on that throughout the season. But we see it's a big disadvantage.
I jumped the gun. False start.
False start.
Did my false start make it over the clip there?
Yeah.
Or did the referees catch it? Okay.
No, I made it over the clip.
Yeah. Declan told me the snap count 5 seconds before we hit the record button.
Yeah.
And I was like Ole Udo in week one against Cincinnati last year. All right, the season's starting. Here's the snap count. We've practiced all summer.
Yeah. I'm Alexander Madison guiding you to the center. No, Mackie, that's the guard. I need you to get in front of the center here.
Judd trying to bait Daniil Hunter into putting whiteboard material up against opposing interior offensive linemen, not taking the bait.
Nope.
Daniil was very tactful in his answer there.
Very fair question, though.
It was, and the answer is no, a guard cannot stop Daniil Hunter.
Right. Good luck. Good luck with that was what I was hoping to get.
This is Purple Daily, Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die, and the show is presented in part by our friends at TCL. TCL is one of the world's best-selling consumer electronics brands. They have a new lineup of award-winning TVs delivering the most entertainment with stunning resolution, all at an affordable cost. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. On the show today, Kirk Cousins with a couple interesting comments to Dan Barrero that we can discuss, a random Viking of the week, but most importantly, Judd's Vikings training camp notes and an interesting position battle shaping up. Speaking of guards, one that maybe we didn't think was going to, I don't know that I thought this was going to take shape this quickly, but let's talk about interior offensive line play here, Judd.
Yes, because this is incredibly important, right? Because, I mean, you know, you think to yourself, guards, centers, who really cares? Well, we have learned in the past few years that if you don't care, you know what happens? You can lose football games. So, the right guard position. Jesse Davis has gotten about two or three veteran days off because he's coming off, I believe, a season-ending knee injury with the Miami Dolphins last year. Well, the last time that he was off, so not practicing, second-round pick, Ed Ingram bumped up to the first team, but Jesse Davis was out. So it's like, oh, okay, he's getting some reps there. Interesting, but it's not like he's beating Davis out. It's not like there is yet a competition. So yesterday in practice, I believe for the first time with Jesse Davis practicing, Ed Ingram and Jesse Davis split reps during team drills at right guard. So when they started off team drill one, first team, it was Jesse Davis. But then, for the second portion of the team drill, when the first team came back, Ed Ingram had replaced him there. And back and forth they went, rotating. Very interesting. And I believe I did predict this with you out on Mackie and Judd yesterday, Phil. But I predicted to Declan, I think there is a very good chance Ed Ingram is now going to be, and is very much competing to be, the week one starter.
Wow.
Digest that.
Life comes at you fast, Jesse Davis. Jesse Davis was not brought in as a high upside, you know, Pro Bowl caliber solution at guard. He played mostly tackle, I believe, for the Dolphins last season, and he has previous guard experience, so he can be kind of a swing guy. But he was, according to Pro Football Focus, one of the worst offensive linemen in the entire league last year. So moving him from tackle to guard, probably just a better move for him. But he was a Band-Aid. They signed Jesse Davis and Chris Reed, hoping maybe one of these guys can win the right guard competition for a year or hold it down. But ideally, the second-round pick, Ed Ingram, has the highest upside, is under team control on a rookie scale contract now for 4 years. I mean, the best case scenario here would be the young guy slots right in, more upside, possibly just a better player, and you're off to the races for cheap for the next 4 years at that position. So it's a good sign. If he wasn't doing the right things behind the scenes and he wasn't, you know, practicing at a high level, they wouldn't be giving him this chance this early in training camp. So I agree with you. I think this is all sort of headed toward, unless he just, you know, gets in the deep end of the pool at practice with the ones and he can't, because he's going to be going up against Daniel Hunter and Za'Darius Smith and those guys. But if he can hold his own against that defense and some of those guys, this is definitely tracking toward him being the week one starter. Very interesting.
Kind of reminds me of in baseball when, like, it's spring training and for whatever reason we're giving, you know, I'm going to use him for an example here, Dylan Bundy as the fifth starter when there's another great prospect that's, like, ready to rock. But, hey, no. We're gonna put the Band-Aid on for now. And then when we have to rip it off, we got, like, this great Neil Sporin rookie that's going to come here and absorb the cut, and it's going to be all great. Like, no, how about we remove the Band-Aid immediately and we give the best possible medication, the best possible solution right here at Ingram? That's what they should do.
Yes. And if this works, too, so if Ingram is the starter week one and is prepared to take that job, the nice thing here too is this, to Declan's point, because this feels like what, a 4 year Band-Aid? Like, right guard has been a rotating a rotation of this guy can, you know, we'll sign this guy and he'll do it, and now we're gonna move Oli Udo from the tackle position to guard. And so if Ingram is the solution, you now potentially have four of the five spots locked up with solutions, not just quick fixes. Yes. Garrisaw, Cleveland, and again, you know, Cleveland to me is developing still, but he's a draft pick. He's been, I think, good, not great, but he definitely can be a solid player. Ingram potentially, O'Neal. So Bradberry is still a concern, but the point is, for the first time in a long time, it feels like you're building an offensive line that has long-term potential solutions, not just, okay, we're going to sign this guy because, my God, our right guard was bad last year.
Yeah. Another thing to note, rightfully so, we ripped the Vikings for years for not taking offensive line seriously enough with their draft resources. You know, they went a 10 or 11 year period where they only spent two or three first, second, or third round picks on offensive linemen. So I think it was like Matt Khalil, but it was between the Bradberry pick all the way back to maybe Ryan Cook in 2006 or 2007. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't draft offensive linemen much between the first, second, and third rounds. And now if Ed Ingram gets that starting job, and I get that this is now spanning back to the Rick Spielman front office and then now into the Kwesi front office, but if Ed Ingram gets that starting right guard job, the five starting offensive linemen are going to be, from left to right, a first round pick, a second round pick, a first round pick, a second, and a second round pick. Right. Now Bradberry is turning out to be a bust, but at least they have organizationally solved the issue of not trying to find these guys in the first couple rounds.
and like, oh, you know what, we'll find a guy in the sixth round or we'll sign some guy. That's it. That's big. That's big. Now, Phil, I do think part of the juxtaposition in this conversation that I find intriguing is this. And I feel like because Spielman's gone, it's going to pass without nearly the attention it probably should, okay? Wyatt Davis remains third team. He is barely getting snaps, and I'm pretty certain is going to be cut, and I'm not certain he's going to be brought back on the practice squad. The point being is this is a third-round pick. And impressively or not, unfortunately, the 2021 third round is shaping up as a disaster. Like, the third round is not the sixth round. It's not the seventh round. If I'm not mistaken, it's Mond, who continues to struggle. It is Davis, who I think it's going to be cut, and I'm not sure he's going to be a practice squad guy, and I'm not sure who's going to rush to sign him. And then, if I'm not mistaken, they also took Chaz Surratt, right? Who was the former, who was the college quarterback turned linebacker, but he was going to be so athletic. I think he gets cut too.
Wow.
Like,
that's amazing, dude.
Before we just completely dismiss the Rick, you know, Rick's gone now, let's not talk about that. I think a third round, the amount of busts of epic proportions can't really be forgotten completely.
Wasn't there another third rounder in there somewhere? Let me find this real quick. I think they had four third rounders.
Patrick Jones the second.
Yeah, Patrick Jones.
Okay,
he'll get some
work.
Run. Yeah. And then in fairness, this is the weird thing. So these third round picks are maybe all going to get cut, which is bonkers. But Darisaw in the first round looks like he's at least going to be your starting left tackle this year. And if he takes a step forward, they might have found a solution long term there.
Yep.
Kene Wangwu, interesting little trinket player, kick returner in the fourth round. Cam Bynum is, I think, a starting caliber player. Emir Smith-Marset was a fifth-round pick. So it's such a weird draft in that a lot of your more premium picks are whiffs, but you might have nailed your first-rounder, and then you might have nailed like a couple fourths and a fifth in there too. So I think if you look at the whole draft, it's actually a pretty successful draft that they might have found four or five regulars or starting caliber players. But the fact that you are cutting third-round picks after you're not using them at all in year one, and then you might cut them after year two, is a huge indictment. So, yeah. There's a reason why Rick Spielman is currently working in media and not a front office, I think.
33rd team does not want him drafting in the third round for them.
Needs a year off just to collect his thoughts. All right, Judd's camp notes continued here.
Okay, there are two ways to see this, the good or bad, but it's intriguing. Two-minute drill again for the second consecutive practice at the end. On Monday, it was Cousins and the first team, and then it was Mond and the second team. Yesterday, it was Cousins and the first team and Mannion and the second team. But I want to talk about the first team. And the two ways to see this are the defense, so first team offense against first team defense. The defense looked really good, really fantastic. One thing I really like about these guys is they have them playing really aggressive. Now, with the crackdown on illegal contact, I don't know about flags. Like, I think that could be a problem, but I do like the fact that just as a approach to how they're playing, it's aggressive. Unfortunately, the bad way is the first team offense looked in that drill awful, and it ended with a Cousins pick by Bynum on a pass intended for Jefferson. And this goes back to what I've been talking about, the whole work in progress thing. This is the amount of so when they do hurry up, especially, it becomes obvious at times just how far they have to go to playing quick, efficient, and comfortable. So defensively, it looked good. Offensively, this group is going to need to make some real strides when they're going against good defenses in playing at pace, in playing quick, and with the quarterback and the entire offense essentially looking comfortable.
Hey, what was you sent me, because we kind of meandered our way into a Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees conversation earlier this week, because
yes,
Kevin O'Connell answered one of your questions about Kirk's interceptions. You asked Kevin, hey, he's throwing some un-Kirk-like passes that are maybe just a little riskier than he usually would, and it's resulting in some interceptions. You know, what is that, just him feeling it out? And Kevin O'Connell referenced Drew Brees and said, there's guys like Brees that spend the entire training camp throughout their career just trying to test the boundaries of what works and what doesn't, so that they know when they get into a game, okay, on this route against that coverage, this is a little too tight, I can't throw that pass, but this one I can. You sent me a clip on social media a couple days ago, too, of someone making the same Drew Brees reference that he would oftentimes just, like, purposefully in training camp in front of fans and stuff. Not that he's trying to throw picks, but he's being more aggressive, trying to test the boundaries of what he can and can't do.
Yes.
It's like a pitcher going into a spring training game and saying, well, I need to work on my fastball today. So
exactly.
If I throw one down the middle and serve up a three-run bomb, it doesn't matter. I'm not. But people freak out. Oh, my God, this guy.
Right.
This guy gave up six runs in a spring training game or something.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing is that there are times that Kirk is definitely throwing passes Kirk would ordinarily not throw, and he's trying things. which is absolutely fine. The overall tenor of the drill I'm talking about, though, is just playing at pace and speed, and it's going to take some time. My point is there's going to have to be, from the coaching staff on down to the fans, there's going to have to be a level of patience because guys are trying to do things that they are new at, and I think it's a big difference between trying to practice it in a walkthrough, watching it on film, or studying it in a classroom, and then doing it as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing where I think in fairness, this is simply going to take some time to take hold fully.
And maybe at the end of the day, maybe you're taking the over on Kirk Cousins' interceptions from time to time, but it leads to more upside, like touchdowns, which you can take those overs on Prize Picks, which is an easy way to play daily fantasy. You pick between 2 and 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. You can even run mixed sports entries, so you can take the over on a Cousins touchdown number or an interception number, and then you can take the over on a Byron Buxton home run number or something when those two teams are both playing in the month of September. It's super easy to use. PrizePicks mobile app and prizepicks.com. Use the promo code NORTH, and PrizePicks will match your first deposit up to $100. PrizePicks, the easy way to play daily fantasy, the easy way to lose weight. Well, not, I wouldn't say easy, because you got to put in some work.
Exactly right.
You know, there's not an overnight solution, but Livia is there to help you.
That is exactly right, and I'm down, as I've been talking about now for quite some time, 40 pounds. My wife, Dawn, she joined. She's down about 14 pounds. The Zolgad household down over 50 pounds, and you know what? As Phil just said, it's not easy, but it is efficient, and if you make the commitment, it's fantastic. And right now, we're talking about the exclusive end-of-summer anniversary offer. You can join the program for 50% off. 50% off! So by fall, you'll be fitting into all of those fall and winter clothes that don't fit now. Well, guess what? They're going to fit, and the best thing is you can keep the weight off as well. 855-GO-L-I-V-E-A, Livia.com. Livia, Livia.com. That is your ticket to dropping those unwanted pounds and then keeping them off. Livia.com.
All right, Judd's camp notes continued here.
That is exactly right. So here's my question and talker off of the point about the offense, okay? And I think it's in 2022, I think that this is up for debate. Is there an upside? Do you play any of your key starters on offense in the 3 preseason games to get them in a game situation or in a training camp where it is very clear, and I don't fault the Vikings one bit, that they are putting a premium on trying to keep guys healthy? And there are players that you see every day, you know, torn Achilles, bad knee, and like, and some of that's a complete fluke. But the point is, they've done a very good job, knock on wood for their sake, of keeping guys healthy. Is there an upside starting on what is it, Sunday against the Raiders, to playing Cousins, to playing Jefferson, Thielen, Cook, to get them some snaps, or is it simply not worth it based on injury risk?
A lot of smart football people, Sean McVay, Aaron Rodgers came out yesterday or 2 days ago and said, there's no value in even risking playing a snap, even as I'm trying to get used to new wide receivers. I'm gonna lean toward listening to Sean McVay and Aaron Rodgers on this. And you can make fun of Aaron Rodgers all you want for a million other things, but like, the guy's been in the NFL for a long time. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And he is telling you, I don't really need preseason games. I can go out there. We can still win 12 or 13 games. I'm going to light it up and be an MVP without preseason. So I used to think, don't you want to get out there and play against somebody, especially when you're installing a new offense and just test things out? And I've kind of done a 180 on that. I think any gain that would be perceived probably doesn't overshadow the injury risk that you would be. Do you want, you know, Za'Darius Smith or Danielle Hunter, or, I mean, hell, your offensive line? What happens if Brian O'Neill gets rolled up on or something? You know, you're razor thin at some of these positions. Kirk Cousins, you're razor thin at quarterback. You have one guy that can, you have one guy that's won an NFL game before.
Yeah.
So I tend to say, listen, it's already risky enough just practicing on a regular basis and getting the full pads on the 11 times they're going to do it. Why add additional risk against a team that really hasn't, at least when you play your own team in a padded practice, they're looking out for each other. No one's going to intentionally,
and you're not really tackling,
play through the whistle or something. Yeah,
exactly.
So I wouldn't play any key starters in this game.
Declan?
I wouldn't play him yet. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, they don't have to necessarily rush into doing it. But I do think there's some value in getting some type of reps. Like you're going to go 9 to 10 months, not 10 months, but 9 months or so without ever playing an actual NFL game. And you might say these, well, what is 2 to 3 series in preseason at 75% speed really mean? But I do think there's something that matters there. And I don't think also the Vikings offense and their players have really earned the luxury of just sitting out the preseason. Aaron Rodgers has earned that luxury, dude. He's an MVP. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Kirk Cousins is learning this new system. He's going through some kinks in the training camp. I do think there's some beneficial side to it of going into an actual preseason game and running some offense.
I can't believe I'm going to say this because I used to completely agree with everything you just said. I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't play him, and here's why. If you were going to run your plays, I might play him. So, like, if you were going to go through a package of plays that you actually intended to run, but you don't, you're basically going to go out there and hand off to Cook and throw a pass to Justin on a play that's just, you know, just an easy, unscoutable, because it's like, okay, no duh play. And the risk of somebody twisting an ankle, tearing up a knee, I used to be very firmly on the side of get out there, get a series, get two, do some tackling, get hit, because that probably does help. But it's so ultimately useless that, in my opinion now, the risk of injury is not worth it.
Yeah. So Matthew Stafford didn't play in preseason games last year, right?
With a new system, he did not. He did not.
Dude threw 40 touchdown passes, won a Super Bowl.
But I used to be totally...
All those teammates were new for him. Like, Matthew Stafford came in, he didn't, you know, okay, I'm working with the offensive line for the first time, the center for the first time, the receivers, the routes, everything. And they got all that work done in practice in the offseason and in training camp. So, yeah, don't risk it. No risk it, no biscuit if you're Bruce Arians, but I don't buy into that theory for preseason games.
I've completely changed there, though. Like, yeah. I have completely changed.
All right, what else is in your notebook there? Anything else at the very bottom? That's it?
No. That's it.
Good stuff.
Competition.
Love it. Yeah, Judd's out there on a regular basis asking the difficult questions like he did to Danielle Hunter and Kevin O'Connell and filling up his college rule notebooks full of observations.
Oh, we got it right here, baby. Look at this. Look at this. Bloodsport notes here, but I mean, we got depth charts. We got play-by-play of the Monday night practice.
You're next. Yeah, Bloodsport's our action movie rewind over on Mackie and Judd this week, so that'll be a thing. So those are Judd's camp notes, and you can find some of his written work at scorenorth.com as well. By the way, if you are checking out Purple Daily on the YouTube channel, if you could click subscribe and the like button, it helps spread the word about this Vikings community that you guys are helping us build. We are the straw that stirs the drink, and we all... Whether you agree, disagree, I think we all align that it's been 60 years. Let's get a Super Bowl up in here at some point. You know, let's make it happen. So, all right, what are people saying about the Vikings? Presented by our friends over at Brainerd International Raceway. We're going to get to some interesting Kirk Cousins comments here, Declan.
Yeah, just coming up in a little over a week here. Lucas Oil Nationals at Brainerd International Raceway, ground pounding, lightning fast, blow your mind drag racing, 330 miles per hour of adrenaline from August 18th to the 21st. Every ticket, too, by the way, from BIRMN.com, where you can buy those tickets, comes with a pit pass, and kids 12 and under get in free. Judd doesn't have any kids, but if you have kids and you actually have children, you can bring them in. If they're 12 and under, they get in free. They get the pit pass. They get to smell all the gnaws, all the fun stuff right there in the action, okay? Right there at Brainerd International Raceway. Lucas Oil Nationals, August 18th to the 21st. Get your tickets at BIRMN.com.
Awesome. I'm up in that neck of the woods.
You
here
are.
For some company meetings this week up at Grandview Lodge. It's been fun, kind of bumming around. I've had I'm trying to just consume as much Northern Minnesota. I got my Power Loon hooded sweatshirt on here too.
Yeah.
Love the Power Loon.
Classic rock.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. It's a great station. Barracuda.
That's Barracuda.
Playing every anything by heart, really. Yeah. I'm in on. So yeah, I've eaten more wild rice, walleye. I even had a stuffed pork chop last night. I'm just trying to eat all of the Northern Minnesota foods. It's a great time.
Outstanding.
So what are people saying about the Minnesota Vikings? Kirk Cousins went on KFXN radio yesterday with Dan Barrero in the afternoon. And there's a lot of little things that they covered. But Dan asked him about all of this stuff, the tension that we can see on screen and the tension that we've heard about behind the scenes between Zimmer and Cousins. And Dan asked him about it. And Cousins said that the rift between him and Mike Zimmer has been, quote, very overblown. So let's start there. Do you think Kirk is telling the whole truth, the partial truth, or nothing close to the truth when he says that the stuff between me and Zimmer, listen, the fact that we didn't meet for 45 minutes a week until the fourth year I was here, you know, the fact that we argued about vaccinations, the fact that we almost threw hands after that Lions win, you know, the fact that the voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, came out and said that, you know, yeah, Mike Zimmer was not all that into, and you know, Ben Lieber, like all of these things. So do you think that he's lying when he says it's all very overblown?
1,000%. 1,000%. And so here, okay. So I'd like to dissect this a bit too, because first of all, Dan read Kirk Ben's entire quote. So like he didn't like,
that's amazing, by the way.
He didn't paraphrase.
Bravo to Dan.
Oh, good for him. Oh yeah, he's great. He's fantastic. But I mean, he didn't paraphrase. He didn't like, you know, he took the quote like this and read it to him. And so like, there's no like, oh, you know, I don't really know what Ben said, right? Because it's right there. Here's my issue with Kirk lying completely about this. If this was just a one-off and he didn't want to talk about this one thing, I'd be like, I sort of get that. Like, he's lying, but again, as we've talked about on this show for a long time, it's sports lying, and I get it. It'd be nice to hear some reality, but we're not going to. But here's my issue with what Kirk did. This is just continues the pattern of never owning anything. Never, like, this is what I want. And here's the thing, too, and I think Kirk stands can identify with this. This isn't what just Judd wants because I want the juicy story. I do. But what I want is what a very important person in Kirk's life right now by the name of Kevin O'Connell wants too. And that's, you got to own this. You got to own some things. That does not mean you have to go into chapter and verse on what went wrong with Mike and you. But I mean, I know for a fact, I've been told for a fact that Kirk Cousins basically had to beg Mike last year to meet once a week. Mm-hmm. Like Mike didn't want to do it. Like it was not like, oh, Kirk, why didn't you come to me 4 years ago? I'd love to meet. Mike Zimmer didn't want to meet. And Kirk basically, and good for him, just kept trying to be like, no, we got to meet. We have to meet.
Yeah.
But dude, Kirk, you are a quarterback. You have to, the most important thing in your life and the next step in your progression, because physically you have talent. We never argued that, is to take and figure out how to take ownership of situations. Because that's what being a successful quarterback is. You own situations. And when you won't own anything, you are leaving out an incredibly important mental chip and component to success. And that is where I think that's why Kevin O'Connell wants him to take some chances here too. Because you've got to figure out and you've got to come to a conclusion of how you can own situations. What can you own and what can't you own? And when you are constantly dodging things, which he is, he's constantly dodging things. He's constantly trying to deflect. You know what? There are certain sports and there are certain positions of the sports that you can, I don't love it, but you can deflect a lot of things. And ultimately, nobody really cares. Quarterback's not one. And look, the reality is everything we're talking about when it comes to Kirk is really the mental side of rewiring his brain. It's not he can't do this. It's not he can't make that throw. No, actually, he can make that throw. We've seen him make throws. I've never had an issue, and I never will, with what Kirk Cousins' God-given gifts as an athlete are. Like, he can't run, but lots of guys can't run. I'd like him to be able to feel pressure more, but everyone's going to have their faults. But as far as what he can do with a football, it's pretty special. Why is he not as successful as he should be? It's a mental game here. And what he did with Barrero is just the latest in him trying to dodge and deflect things, where you've got to at least explore the path of, you know what, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. I'm not going to give you everything, but I'm going to give you something because I'm owning a situation.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hear you loud and clear. I'm gonna defend him a little bit here because I don't expect him to come out and throw Mike Zimmer under the bus at all whatsoever. I actually think he handled, in a vacuum, I actually think he handled this question the right way. And bravo to Dan for literally reading the transcript of the quote. A lot of radio hosts and reporters wouldn't have the grapefruits to sit there and do that and make the situation uncomfortable. I mean, I'm going to read you some uncomfortable quotes right now and get your response on them. Mm-hmm. And I think Kirk's response was fine. He's saying he's downplaying it. Listen, it's overblown, whatever. We know, and that's funny. I don't know why we somehow have sources now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but we were told behind the scenes on this show several months ago to watch out for a Tom Brady and Buccaneers coaching staff rift. That there's some things happening behind the scenes. Yeah, I guess when you're just talking football every day, people just float things to you, but we were told several months ago, hey, it's not all roses behind the scenes in Tampa. And so there might be issues between Tom and Bruce Arians. There might be some issues between Tom and other coaches on the staff. And so it wasn't all that shocking then when Tom Brady announced his retirement. And then when he came back, Bruce Arians was gone. Tom Brady and Bruce Arians clearly had some issues between each other. But at no point is Tom going to come out and make a big deal out of it. If somebody asks him, hey, it's kind of weird. You came back and then Bruce Arians just retired. The timing doesn't make a lot of sense there. And he's going to say, oh, I love my time with Bruce. It's great. We won a Super Bowl together. He's not going to air out their dirty laundry. But if you zoom all the way out, what you're saying, and I agree with you, is at every turn, Kirk likes to just sort of be a passenger in the car, right? He likes to, when it comes to timeouts in a game, even the way he's kind of talked about the new scheme this offseason, it's, well, you know, I just want to do what the coach asks me. Well, yeah, that's great. You should definitely be coachable, but you're a quarterback, man. You're 34 years old. You make $35 million a year. Your role goes beyond just doing what the coach asks of you. You don't need permission to lead when you're in that position, getting paid that much money, been in the league that long. So it's just, yeah, in a vacuum, I'm fine with the way he answered this question. But to your point, big picture, he doesn't love to take ownership of things, because when you take ownership of things, it can be risky. If you say, our plan is to win a Super Bowl, it's always, we're going to take it week to week and our plan is to get to the playoffs or whatever. It's like, no, anything short of a Super Bowl would be a failure, which is what this organization should be saying, quite frankly, every single year. I think he's a little bit, and this is me playing amateur psychologist, I think he's a little afraid to go that far with ownership of things, because if you fail, it opens yourself up for more criticism. And I don't think he likes to be criticized. But on the other hand, you kind of mentioned, you know, if he can do this and this, you know, there's, I think you phrased it as, there's a reason why he's not even better. And I've been thinking about that this week, just kind of thinking about the season and stuff. And I was talking to a coworker of mine who works in Washington, D.C. and followed Kirk's career for years when he was with the Redskins at the time, now the Commanders. And we both kind of have the same viewpoint, which is, God, the guy, he's one of the 14 or 15 best quarterbacks in the world. You can do a lot worse than Kirk as your quarterback. You're probably not going to win four games in train wreck with Kirk as your quarterback. But at the same time, some of those personality quirks and leadership gaps prevent your team, and the money that he makes prevent your team from being as good as they can be. But then I always go back to the fact that this guy was not recruited at all by Power 5 schools until after he was a senior. He had to wait for a Michigan State offer until after he was a senior in high school. Then he was the seventh guy on their depth chart and climbed his way up to become the Michigan State starting quarterback. Then he was a fourth-round pick, a backup to RG3, climbed his way up over two or three quarterbacks to be a really good, viable starting quarterback. So on one hand, it feels like there's more. On the other hand, he's maximized everything you would ever expect of a guy that wasn't recruited by Power 5 schools and wasn't an amazing athlete coming out of high school. So I'm just sort of conflicted by what we should really expect from him going forward here with the Vikings.
I think part of the issue, though, Phil, in retrospect now, in seeing his career here play out for the past 4 or 5 years, is this. The part of the reason why I think he wasn't recruited more, part of the reason why he's had to climb up, one is I think he does like a challenge, and he clearly excels at taking on a challenge. But you know what? I think part of his problem has been this. Again, the mental wiring. I think if Kirk Cousins maximized who he is, who he could be mentally, that he probably does get recruited quicker, much quicker. Like why would you as a scout, why would you watch this kid play in high school and be like, unless you talk to him? Like if you just went and watched, I'm hard pressed to think if you just went and watched Kirk Cousins in high school and you are a college scout, that you would say, no. Now, if I went and talked to him, though, I might be like, okay, there's some red flags here. And that's my point. That's what Kevin O'Connell is embarking on, literally trying to open up the hood of the car and do some major work on the engine. And that's where I find this to be. And look, I get it. The cousin stands now are saying, oh, typical Zolgad, you're dissecting something that doesn't exist. Well, no, it does exist. And this is where I think this is so interesting. This is the great experiment. It's taking a quarterback with the talent who's 34 and saying, okay, we're going to make some tweaks here, though, and we're going to get him to embrace things and do things that he has never wanted to do. But I really believe that part of the reason why he have fell through the cracks is personality, talent.
Yeah, he has it in, and we talked about being amateur psychologists, but like he has an avoidant relationship. He's an avoidant relationship type of style here, where he'll allow you in to a degree, and he kind of gives off the persona that he likes to be around people and all this stuff. But when things get tough, he's dismissive, and he also doesn't want to have that relationship be public. He doesn't want to actually commit to that person. He has a very avoidant kind of a style with Mike Zimmer, and to be honest, he's our quarterback. If he says something, we're going to dissect it almost way more than we would with any other player. But at the same time, like, I am ready to move on from the whole Mike Zimmer Kirk. I'm glad Barrero and someone asked him about it. Good for him. But also, like, let's move on to KOC. Let's move on to 2022. I am sick of talking about Zimmer relationship with Kirk Cousins.
That I agree on as well. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think I've already broken my vow from 2 weeks ago. I said, I don't want to talk about this anymore. But, you know, here we are. So,
well, and it's important too, though, because the discussion to me is not about the relationship as much as it is how Kirk is processing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, man, if you took Kirk and if you ratcheted his sort of leadership ownership game up to a Joe Burrow or Tom Brady level, you would be talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback with Super Bowls. I don't think he's ever going to get there at this point, because once you get to your early to mid 30s, you're largely who you are. You're like 90% kind of who you are. Maybe there's some 10% tweaks you can make on the fringes.
Yep.
But can Kevin O'Connell help make some of those 10% tweaks? He's certainly trying early on here. All right, boys, it's time for now. Last week, Declan flipped the script and pitted you and I together in random Viking of the Week against each other. So I think, you know, what we kind of landed on is maybe we alternate every other week or something. Maybe mm-hmm. Declan and I are just, it's what they call in, maybe this is not the politically correct term, but in wrestling, they call it a handicap match, a 2-on-1 match.
Yeah.
Where we can tag each other in every week, but you have to stay in the ring and fight both of us.
Yeah. Maybe a tornado. So, it would be a tornado tag because Joe needed a partner in the ring with him. But yeah, handicap works. Yeah. Handicap works.
Okay.
So I have to, wow, I mean, this is a lot on me.
Well, you're dominating the game so much. You have, to this point, in Random Viking of the Week, a 30-16 lead on Declan, and now Declan and Phil. Last week, old Macadat correctly guessed Andre Allison as the Random Viking of the Week.
Just rifled off all your guesses, and on the third one, bottom of the ninth, man on second.
That's the rule.
Single to right.
You know what I was? Remember that VCU team coached by Shaka Smart that made it to the Final Four a few years ago? And their style was called Havoc.
Yeah.
That we don't even have plays. We're just going to Havoc. We're just going to full court press you and just a barrage of energy and guesses. That was me last week. I'm gonna rifle three guesses before Judd can even think about the clues.
I was down.
Prior to Andre Allison, Judd had like a month and a half winning streak that included Matt Asiata, Cedric Griffin, Jasper Brinkley, John Sullivan, Nate Burleson, Gus Frerotte. So Declan's back in the hot seat here against Judd this week. And the Random Viking of the Week is presented by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company, helping businesses maximize their level of success for over 100 years. You can work with some of the smartest people in the business here of insurance. And you can find out a full list of industries Federated protects at federatedinsurance.com, where it's our business to protect yours. All right, boys. I feel like I've fallen into a pattern of giving you guys kind of the same. I'm gonna start to change up the order of clues here. I always start with, like, you know, what school did they go to and stuff. So I feel like you guys have, especially Judd, has kind of sniffed out my clues patterns here. So I might still do that once in a while, but we're going to start with a couple different things here. This random Viking of the week ran a 4.43 40-yard dash. Before, it was obviously before the draft, just to be clear. Not like when he was, you know, in year five in the NFL. They should do that. They should make veteran players run 40 so you can see how their speed has eroded. You know, wouldn't it be funny to see Randy Moss with the 49ers like 6 years ago or 10 years ago?
They probably do privately, right?
Well, they probably, you know, yeah, they might.
Like, they probably know.
If a guy runs a fly pattern down the sidelines, does a scout have a stopwatch on him?
Probably do.
All right.
Yep.
This random Viking of the week, so a 4.43 40, and then he majored in mechanical engineering in college.
Ooh.
This random Viking of the week, in retirement, offers training programs through his website to help athletes, quote, jump higher, run faster, and maximize your bench press. Wouldn't we all love to jump a little higher, run a little faster, and maximize our bench press?
Not at my age. I'm good. Stay away from me.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
This random Viking of the week was a sixth-round draft pick.
Sixth-round pick.
This random Viking of the week played for these NFL coaches. Mm-hmm. Marvin Lewis, Mike Zimmer, Zach Taylor. This random Viking of the week played soccer as a kid, but he was inspired to play football, American football, after watching a highlight reel of Adrian Peterson on YouTube. It's very inspiring.
So when you say his coaches, are you going in the correct order of his coaches, or are you mixing that up?
I mixed it up.
That's what I thought.
This random Viking. I don't. Sometimes I give you them in order. But
no, I know. That's why I'm trying to. I was trying to get the.
This random Viking of the week's parents' names were Katrin and Gunter.
Is it Moritz Boringer?
Yes, it is. Mobo.
When did he play for Marvin Lewis?
He got cut by, well, if you'd ask more questions like Judd did, he didn't actually play in an NFL game. But when he got cut by the Vikings, he wound up in Bengals camp for a couple years.
He did?
Moritz Boringer was an offseason member of the Cincinnati Bengals from 2018 through 2020. But he never actually played in a regular season game. He was waived during final roster cuts in late August of 19. And then signed a futures contract with the Bengals on December 30th, 2019, and he was waived again in August of 2020. And then he returned to the Schwabish Hall Unicorns of the 2020 21 German Football League, in which his team went 10-0 in the regular season before losing the German Bowl 42. Apparently, there's been 40.
The Roman numerals here.
I think there's been 42 German Bowls. They lost 28-19 to the Dresden Monarchs.
Okay.
In 13 games, he had 37 receptions for 691 yards, leading his team in both categories. Moritz Boehringer.
How did they take a... Why wouldn't you just sign him as an undrafted free agent? Why would you draft him? Like, I know it was a favor, I think, to the league, but why would you waste a sixth-round pick on that guy?
And why not the seventh round?
Well, and just wait till the draft is done. No one else was going to draft him.
Well, I think they wanted it to be featured on ESPN on draft day, right? But why?
Yes. What's
why not just wait till the seventh round?
What's the kickback the Vikings got for doing that? There had to be a kickback from the league.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. Well, when was that? That was 2017. No, it was the 2016 draft.
Yep.
So the new stadium had already opened up, so they already got that. I don't know. I guess we'll never know. Well, sorry, Declan.
That's okay.
Going to get that one. I thought the parents' names were going to... Well, I guess they did give it away. Katrin and Gunter.
Well, maybe it's I was trying to think of guys that played for the Bengals too.
Yeah.
Like I can't think of a ton of Vikings that have played for the Bengals.
Well, like Terrence Newman, but like I knew it wasn't Terrence because he's played for everyone. And then I thought maybe Mackenzie Alexander. And then there was another.
You're right, Trey Waynes.
Yeah, Trey Waynes.
And Trey Waynes, you're right.
Yeah, there was a couple of guys that I was thinking.
What am I thinking?
But I knew they weren't sixth round picks, obviously.
Well, there you go. Judd Zolgad back in the win column here on Random Mobo. Viking of the Week.
You can't go more random than that, dude.
Sing Mobo. So, all right, that's Purple Daily here on this Thursday. Don't forget to check out some of our Purple Daily Network shows as well. Realistic Randy Rants with Declan on Mondays. And then Before We Die with our friends Jesse Pierce and Thor Nystrom. Just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die across the board here on Purple Daily.
Hi, this is Danny LaRue from the Real GM Radio Podcast. BetOnline.net is your number one source for betting football and the start of the new basketball season. Find all the latest player developments, matchups, news, in-depth analysis, and live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Can check in on your favorite games and events, including the baseball playoffs, start of the hockey season, MMA, boxing, and golf, plus sports podcasts. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more at BetOnline, where the game starts.
On November 13th, it's the dawning of a new era when the NFL debuts in Germany, live on NFL Network. Brady and the Bucs.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
DK and the Seahawks.
Put the ball up, making a catch!
Wake up and watch with the world. It's Sunday Morning Football, live from Munich. Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, only on NFL Network.
Anticipation is building. The holidays are just around the corner, and at the Home Depot, we can't wait. With Black Friday savings all through November, you can count down to Christmas early with a Santa Countdown Inflatable Special Buy, only $69.98. Or anticipate when friends and family come to visit with an entrance full of LED lights that will welcome them and the holidays with open arms. Get the holiday magic started early. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.